All right, would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we're going to be. And I don't know how long it'll take us to get through this little series. We finished up our series on Timothy the Point Man last Wednesday night, and I was reading through 2 Thessalonians back the other day, and the Lord just touched my heart about the prayer of the Apostle Paul, and he highlights in this prayer that is very familiar to most of us who have read through this passage many, many times, he highlights the grace of God. And it was very, the message of what he prayed was something that I felt like I need to incorporate this more into my prayer life, and I'm going to share this on Wednesday night. And the title of this is Five Gifts of Grace. Five gifts of grace that we need to thank God for. We need to communicate. Now, by the way, there are 42 prayers in the epistles of Paul that are recorded. Some of them are just a sentence long. Grace be unto you. That's a simple prayer that he desired for the believers that were receiving his letters. But there are 42 prayers that are recorded, and this prayer recorded in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians is one of the greatest among those prayers in the 13 epistles of the Apostle Paul. And I want to read verses 13 through 17, which are the prayer of the Apostle Paul. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through what? Through grace. Very important word in this prayer. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I think it's important that we see separated two thoughts here, that we need the grace of God in our lives post-salvation for the comfort that's needed in time of trouble and sorrow, but also, it says here, to establish you, to make you a rooted and founded believer in every good word, that which comes out of the mouth, and every good work, that which is done for the Lord. What you say and what you do. That's very, very important. And what do you need in order to say the right things and do the right things? You need the manifold grace of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this beautiful prayer that's recorded here in this passage of Scripture. And I pray, dear Lord, that you might help us to kind of get into the understanding of what the Apostle Paul here is praying for. And may this be in our prayers. Lord, we certainly are thankful for your grace. But Lord, sometimes we miss the magnitude of our need for grace, and also the magnitude of our need to call upon that grace. So many times, dear Father, we exercise our lives in the flesh rather than in the power of Thy Holy Spirit through Thy grace. And we ask, Father, that You would work in our hearts, that we might understand the gifts that have been given to us by the grace of God. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What makes our eternal comfort and good hope so sweet? You think about what awaits us. Heaven. I mean, that's a glorious thought. That this world, this earth, is not it. I'm thankful for that. I get tired of doing repairs and changing light bulbs in my house. It seems like the light bulbs don't last as long as they used to. And you go change the light bulb. I said, I just thought I'd just change this light bulb. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the night, beep, 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 and it gets louder and louder, and the smoke alarm battery is out. So, and you're fumbling around in the dark trying to find a battery, a 9-volt battery, and you don't have one of those. And so what are we going to do? This thing's going to beep all night. So you have to get up and you have to go to Walmart, which is open 24/7, thank the Lord. And you buy a 9-volt battery and you rush back and you say, wait a minute, I only bought one and we have 6 of these. So you say, all right, I'm going to fix this one, but I've got a few extras. So I have them on hand for this one. And the rest of them never go out for another 2 years. And then the batteries that you bought are just about worthless at that point. Isn't it amazing the rat race of life and what we have to do every day? Vacuum the floors. Take out the trash. Clean the windows. Constantly washing dishes. You know, we are in a rat race of life that exists for us because of what? Why do we have to clean? Why is there dirt everywhere? You say, well, because we live in Florida. Well, there's dirt everywhere. And there are things that have to be fixed. Why? Because of the curse that we live under. But one day, dear folks, that curse is going to be gone. That's part of His grace. The curse is going to be lifted. We don't know what life is like apart from the curse, do we? We have nothing to compare it to. All we have is what God says the future is going to be. And why is it so hard for us to latch on to those things and yearn for them in our hearts? What do we latch on to? What's all around us. That's what we latch on to. We latch on to the, well, look what's come out now. We got this newfangled thing that's out there. We just got to have it. And that's what we latch on to. And when it comes to eternal truths, like comforting your hearts and establishing yourself in every good word and work by anchoring your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of the past, present, and what? Future. And get a hold of that future and make it a part of my daily life. Why is that so hard? Because all we know in the physical body is the curse. It's the curse. This is understood by the advertising agencies of Madison Avenue. What do? They appeal to the flesh because they know something about the flesh. Why is it so hard for Christians to understand it? The advertising agents know how to appeal to the flesh in clothing, technology, furniture, everything you can imagine. They know how to appeal to the flesh because they have the flesh too. So what do we have to do? We have to determine by God's grace. That's what we're talking about here. We have to determine by God's grace, I'm not going to live the rat race of life like the world wants me to live it. I'm going to live in this world how God wants me to live it. And that's through His grace. That's the only way that we can live it. It was interesting to me in all of the activity today with the horrible shooting of Steve Scalise, who's a representative from Louisiana. By the way, he's been to Milton. He has come with Matt Gaetz, who is our representative. And matter of fact, took Matt Gaetz under his wing to try to show him how Washington worked and all the different things, help him set up his office, so forth. So there's a connection here to our area by Steve Scalise. But they had a prayer meeting. Several of those men are born-again Christians. They said they gathered together and had prayer. As they were in that dugout, they began to pray. One of them began to pray, Lord, spare our lives. Lord, undertake for us. Be with Steve out there until the gunfire stopped. Well, we can go and help him. He was bleeding heavily. One of the men in the dugout was a doctor. And the doctor, as soon as the shooting stopped, he looked up, saw the shooter was down on the ground. He took off running. He said he was able to stop the bleeding. He put his hand down to stop the bleeding that was there. And he said, I began to pray and asked the Lord to watch over Steve until we got an ambulance here. He was on the ground for 10 minutes bleeding. He's in serious condition tonight. He's in critical condition from what we understand. I don't know how serious that means. But what was interesting was how they immediately went to prayer. Immediately on the hill, those representatives that are part of the prayer group that we got to meet last year when we were up there, they have a prayer group that meets every morning there in the prayer room of the House of Representatives. When they got the word on their cell phones, they texted the prayer group and said, "Meet in the prayer room right now. We're going to pray that God would undertake for those that have been shot, that the Lord would spare them." And so far, the only one that's died has been the shooter. And we do pray for those individuals. But it was interesting what one individual said. One individual is Jeff Flake. He is a senator from Arizona. And he said, "But for the grace of God, we would all be dead." There was only one man that had security with him, and that was Steve Scalise, because he's the third in line of the House. So he gets, because of his high position, he gets two officers assigned to him, and they had their car parked right outside of first base, and they were the ones that were shot at, and two of them were wounded. But the lady police officer was the one that took down the shooter. He said, "But by the grace of God, we would all be dead, and I want everybody to know that." And then tonight, there was another representative that I'm not familiar with, said the same thing. He said, "I just want to begin by saying, it's the grace of God that spared us and allows us to be here on this podium to talk with you tonight. I want everybody to know it was the grace of God that shielded us." Now, folks, we need to understand how wonderful and how powerful and how expansive the grace of God is when you belong to Him. When you belong to Him. What that means. But also the understanding that you have to call upon God's grace. You have to want it. We're going to look at some other passages of Scripture, but you have to want His grace to be poured out into your life. And sometimes we don't even think about that. We're just living life. We're just doing the things that we do every day. But dear folk, you don't know what a day may bring. I can't tell you, and I don't think you can either, the times that God has ministered His grace and shielded you from personal harm or a close possible accident or something worse, where He just ministered His grace at that moment to undertake for you. Folks, I want to say this with all the authority of the Word of God. You will not survive normal everyday life without the ministering of the grace of God in your life. You won't survive. If you're not saved this evening, you're one of the countless millions of people that don't know personally the grace of God. Now, maybe God's preserved you. I've heard testimonies of individuals who said, "God preserved me so that I might be saved later on." That's wonderful. I know that God has ministered His grace in my own life. I've shared the testimony of the fact that my unsaved grandfather, who was a drunkard, was taken out of our lives the night I was born. I can only imagine the conflicts that would have risen in our lives with an individual living right across the way from our house. And yet God in His mercy and His grace ministered that. I see that as God's grace that was in my life before I even knew who I was. Now this is very, very important for us to grab and get a hold of, because it is something that we need to look at. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians for just a moment. I haven't even gotten to the first point yet, but this passage of Scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. "We then, as workers together with Him..." Now that is referring back to the previous message, that paragraph continues starting at verse 18 of chapter 5. The paragraph continues on all the way down to verse 14 of chapter 6. Remember, chapter breaks were put in much later, and they were done for our referencing and Bible memory and so forth. But the paragraph begins at verse 18 of chapter 5 and goes all the way to verse 14 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God, how? In vain. To live as though His grace is not available. That's what he's saying there. Do you live your life as if God's grace is not available? As if you don't need it? How many times have you got into your vehicle and you just took off down the road and you look down and you realize, I'm almost out of gas? That ever happened to you? I've run out of gas a few times over the years. It's frustrating. Why didn't I look at that? You know, it's right there in front of you. It's got the gauge there, as long as it's working properly. And if your gas gauge doesn't work, then you got to do mathematics in your head and hope that you're right. If you're not very good at mathematics, then you better start writing stuff down. Write down mileage and understand how far you can go and how many miles you've gone so you don't run out of gas. The gauge is there. You ought to look at it, but you didn't. And the alarm sounded. Maybe you have an alarm on your car that goes off when you have a gallon or two left in your car. Maybe a light goes off and starts flashing. That's what I have in my truck, and we have it in our van. Little alarm goes off. Your gas is low. Well, I'm thankful for that. How is it that we can walk through our life on a daily basis and not be cognizant of our need for grace? How come there's no alarm that goes off in our life and says, you're low, you're living like you don't need grace and you need it right now? You see, folks, it's a matter of the heart and matter of the will. I want it. I want it. And I'm going to keep it in the forefront of my mind. I want it. I need it. I've got to have His grace. And I'm going to live in such a way that I'll never run out from underneath His grace. Never run out from underneath it. I'll never work a way over and shelter myself under some covering where His grace can't reach me. Very, very important thought. Number one on your little outline there. Chosen in Christ according to grace. Chosen in Christ according to grace. Our salvation is a work of grace. Did you see that here in our passage that we read? If you go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says there in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to what? Salvation. God hath chosen you to salvation. And it's according to grace. The unmerited favor of God toward us. In Romans 11, verses 5 through 6, we won't take time to turn there. Paul is trying to show that God had not forsaken His people Israel there. Some are being saved through His ministry, and in the end of a whole generation will be saved, we're told, in the Word of God. He compares His time to the time of Elijah, as Paul writes there, when there was a faithful remnant who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And he writes there, even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant, a group that have been elected, they've been chosen by grace. And if by grace, it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. In other words, there's no contrast then. Now, he makes this same comparison in our passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he mentions there work and grace. In order to work for God, I need His grace. But when it comes to the matter of salvation, there is no work that you can do. It's all of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. That is the closest thing that you have to a definition to grace in the New Testament. It's right there in Romans chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. Grace is God giving to you what you do not deserve apart from works. Okay? All the works that you do will never be sufficient. So what does He do? He ministers His grace, and He gives to you what you do not deserve. Oh, there were times growing up, whenever I'd have a squabble with Roger or something of that nature, and I'd go to Mom, I'd say, Mom, Roger's being mean. And then Mom would go and get all over Roger or whatever. And I'd sit over there with a big grin on my face. Because she didn't have the whole story. Because I was part of the problem too. But usually, it came around. You know what? It's like a boomerang. You can fire that boomerang off and it looks like good till it comes around and hits you back in the head. And that happened many a time too, whenever it got turned around and Roger said, Todd's being ugly. And then I would get it. And it would be makeup time for the one time before whenever I'd get on to him. Let me tell you something, folks. The reason that you're here tonight in this building, gathered together with this group of people, is because of the ministry of grace. It's all of grace. That we can be here together to fellowship on a Wednesday night and bring these prayer requests before the Lord. We do not deserve it. We haven't done anything to merit it. It's free. So step one toward our eternal comfort and good hope is indeed through grace. So we are chosen in Christ according to grace. And by the way, election, when it's used in the Scriptures, always refers to a group. You or us. Always a group. The nation of Israel. Always taught election. Nation of Israel. Not individuals, but the group God has a particular purpose for. You have angels, the elect angels, plural, a group. And then you have the church, a group, elect, chosen for a particular purpose. So there's not as much confusion about election as people make it out to be, that try to make it an individual thing. God chose you and didn't choose this person over here. No, it's a group that He has chosen for a particular purpose. But I'm thankful that I called upon His name in 1978, and by His grace, He saved me at age 14. I'm not going to argue with anybody about election or whatever. All I know is I've been saved by the grace of God. That's what we need to emphasize. It's the grace of God. Very quickly, we'll just do number two here. Not only are we chosen in Christ according to grace, but we are called through grace. We are called through grace. Look at verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. Paul loves to use that phrase, our gospel. Because he received that message when he was caught up into the third heaven. And God gave it to him. Said, you're going to be my missionary. You're going to be my one to go and carry the gospel to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised. I want you to preach what? The gospel of the grace of God. And so he refers to it as our gospel. But you know what our includes? That includes you and I. It's our gospel, amen? When I was put into Jesus Christ at age 14, that gospel became our gospel because it was intended for me too. The second step of our salvation is God's call. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, which is just ahead here in our passage of Scripture, about five pages ahead in my Bible, Paul describes the basis of God's call in our lives. He says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own, there's our word, grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not only were we saved by grace, but we're called by grace. Every one of us has been given gifts to conduct ministry for Jesus Christ here upon this earth. Do you know what your gift is? Your gift of grace? Some people struggle with this. They don't know what their gift is. They never have figured it out. But I want to tell you something. It's not a secret. God will show you what His gift is. I was talking a year or two ago with Brother Ken Erickson, and I was just praising the Lord for him. I said, Brother Ken, I want to thank you so much that God's given you to our church as a gift to handle the audio systems and then to help out with cooking projects on campus. Isn't he a blessing? I said, that's your gift to this church. God's blessed you, and He blesses us because He gave you to our church. And that's how I view all of you. You're a gift of God to this church. But what kind of gift are you? You see, some people are 15%. Some people are 50%. Some people are 100%. The Bible talks about that. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Not everybody works at the same level of their gift. And that's why God wants us to call upon His grace so that we can be whatever God wants us to be. Not putting checks and limits on our life of what we're going to do, but letting God do that. Letting God use you to the full extent of the gifts that He's given to you. And I'm not talking about talents. Talents are wonderful. Those are innate within every individual that has a certain talent. We're talking about the gift that God gave you the moment you were saved. It was a gift of grace. What is it? For some people, it's the ability to administrate. For some people, it's the ability to help others. They just know how to come in and help out in a certain situation. They're just a blessing. They're a help. Oh, God has given us such a variety of different individuals in this church, and I'm thankful for that. But my encouragement is this. Do you call upon the grace of God with your gift? That way you can encourage. That way you can be a blessing to others within this church and also affect those outside of our church. That's an important role as well. Well, we only got to two of them tonight. We'll finish up number two next time, Lord willing, and then we'll get into some of the other ones.